Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Unfortunately, joining as usual, Jacob, how are you doing?
Thank you, Joe.
Aki's not here. I had to say something.
It's true. Somebody has to say something negative about me at the start. Otherwise, I mean, what's the point then?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no Aki this week. She is traveling with her family. I think she'll be here next week and then the following Tuesday, and then we're done for the year. Can you believe it?
Thank God.
We're going on break, but we're going out in style. We're going to have some guests joining us and some friends coming by. And today we got Josh Barron coming back to the show. How are you doing, Josh?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I had a COVID booster shot today, and I am just warm. I am sweating. I am dripping. I came home and Ashley had the house temperature at like 74. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you have it so high?
Now we're dumb like the,
okay. Yeah, did you like the dad? Okay.
go for it. You're the guest.
Oh, well, thank you. So I was going to say, are you doing the dab thing where you're like constantly monitoring the thermostat? Because I do that.
No, I never look at it.
Down. I always turn mine to 69, and then I chuckle about it. Nice. So I just like, you know, yeah, 69 all the fucking time.
I think mine's on like 70 now. I'm like, oh, 74 is just way too high. I can't do this. I just can't. I can't. It is way too hot.
Now that it's wintertime, like our house is perpetually set to like 70 or 71, and that's because of me. Like, even though my wife is like, oh, it's too warm in here, I don't know what the heck it is with this house, but this is literally the only place I've ever stayed where as soon as the sun goes down, like if it is 68 degrees in the house, it is freezing.
You're just a like frigid bitch, aren't you?
It is bizarre. I've never lived in a place where, like, I don't know if there's just like no insulation in this place or what, but I swear to God, as soon as the sun goes down and it's dark outside, it is cold as shit in this house.
Jeez. Like,
I know my house has like these, I live in Oregon, so like they're really green about stuff, but like this new build of these houses that we got, we've only been in this house for about four months, I think, but they have like these, you know, they have like a unit upstairs and a unit downstairs, and the unit downstairs just sucks. It like, it's this tiny little thing that's mounted on the wall, and like I set it to 80, and it runs off, it distributes the heat from the upstairs, I think, downstairs. Now in the summer it like cools the entire floor, but like right now I'm like, we're freezing everything off downstairs, and I'm like,
geez.
I'm just like, I can't win. This thing has officially beaten me into submission. Green unit.
I would rather take cold over heat, because when you're cold, you could put a sweater on or grab a blanket. Oh, yeah. When you're hot, like you could only get so indecent before the police get involved.
Yeah, and then it's a crime, yeah. And then you have to register and all that.
Yeah, I don't want to be on another list.
That's why you do it inside your house. Inside. Yeah.
That takes all the fun away, though.
Hey, I like to barb. I mean, who doesn't want a barbecue with just the apron on? I mean,
get some toasted buns.
Yeah. Just put kiss the, like have one with kiss the cook.
Oh, man. So, Josh, how have you been? You haven't been on the show in a while. You are back now. You have a new album out. Tell us about it. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, mainly I haven't been on because I take forever to release stuff. I'm a perfectionist. So, and plus COVID, you know, we have
never heard of it.
Our streak. Yeah, I know, right? First time. But I got the guys to record the string parts, which was easy. But we have a new guest on it. He's pretty well known in the video game world. His name is Benjamin Nuss. He and I have been good friends for quite a while, and you know, we haven't really been able to line up our schedules. So I thought this album would be perfect. And he did those parts in Germany. He recorded piano for us. He plays a lot of the Final Fantasy concerts. So I was really honored to have him be on this. And since he loves two composers in particular, I decided to choose them. And they're actually my favorite composers as well. Hitoshi Sakimoto and Masashi Hamuzu. Sakimoto did Final Fantasy XII and Tactics, two really good games. And Hamuzu did Final Fantasy XIII and its two spinoffs and 10. So I'm not too familiar with the spinoffs of 13. I haven't played them, but Xbox Game Pass gets it. So, so I'll be playing them.
Yeah. We'll be talking about that later on in the show. Cause Final Fantasy 13 2 is coming.
Yeah, it is this month. So yeah, I'll be playing it, but the album is really just a lot of pieces that I felt like, needed to be performed live, and both composers, you know, Hamuzu has a lot of performed stuff, but Sakimoto not so much. It's a lot of synthesizer stuff. So I thought to, you know, bring something of his that's just live performance. And so so this album really has a lot of different colors. And the first album was pretty straightforward. It was just like string stuff. But this one, I really went and experimented with what the strings could do. So like hitting on them, you know, plucking the strings in a certain way, having a string played like a guitar.
Are you the Blue Man Group like, now?
Yeah, we're trying. We just need to change our skin color and all of that.
The Orange Man Group, but, the Purple Man Group. There you go.
You know, in my luck, I'd get that lead paint and just kill myself by accident. So I'd be like getting the lead paint and be like, oh, I can't breathe. but hey, at least I'll die with a high, you know, at least. But
I wouldn't know anything about that. Jacob knows my peril right now.
Am I supposed to talk about it? Or
I don't give a shit. People don't know I get high on this show. Come on. Yeah,
I don't.
It's been like a week. Oh my god. Oh, my anxiety and depression are like out of control. Pot's the only thing that helps me, and we're out, and I don't have any, and I'm just like, I'm an anxious wreck lately. It's fun.
Well, we have some great stuff over here. I mean, there's a pot store like every, it's like a Starbucks. You turn around.
You live in fucking Oregon. Of course you do.
And because we're green and we're awesome, you know, we're rumored to have the best weed in the United States. Cause it's like, you know, it's like in clean air, and the air is really clean air. I mean, I lived in Indiana for like 32 years of my life. And when I came out here, I noticed like the air is just a lot cleaner. Not so much when you get to Portland, but,
less manure in the air. You know,
yeah, I mean, well, Portland's just kind of dirty. So it's, I had a Silent Hill moment where I was taking my wife to the USCIS office to, you know, to get her like 10-year green card after we got married and stuff. And there was this lady like just, I don't know, she was like probably, she looked like she was kind of naked under a blanket, you know, and just kind of like, you know, kind of walking weird, like, you know, those nurses in Silent Hill, you know, those people
just shambling.
And I was stopped at a stoplight, and I just looked at her like I was just glancing. I was like, you know, because Portland has a lot of weird characters in it. And so I was just looking and observing. And then she like whipped her. She was like looking in the entirety other way. And she whipped her head like right at me, locked eyes, and then like I was just like put off by it. I was like, let's just get the hell out of here.
Her eyes rolled back, blood started pouring out of her mouth.
I need to get some holy water, and we need to find the nearest Catholic church, because this is too much. But that lady was like really creepy. She's like, I'm never coming to Portland again unless it's like absolutely dire.
Oh god.
So it is, I mean, when they say keep Portland weird, they really mean it. they really do.
I have unfortunately never been there. I've only been to the West Coast like twice in my life. It has been entirely too long.
Well, and California is like, I drove all the way to LA once, like an entire day. I'll never do that again either, but it's nice. I mean, I like California. I've been there a few times, but I just like Oregon. It's just, I can drive like two hours west, see the beach. I can drive 2 hours east, see some mountains and snow. And then in my area, that we don't ever see snow, but when we get like a dust on the ground, everybody considers it the apocalypse. They buy all the fucking toilet paper and the fucking water and the bread and the eggs. And I'm like,
milk you guys sandwiches.
Are absolutely. Yeah, it's like, you guys are absolutely insane. I come from the Midwest. I can wade in the snow, and this is nothing, you pansies. You know, it's like, you guys don't even know what real snow is. Go to the top of the mountain, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know? Well, Jacob and I are in PA, so we know what a real winter can be like. So
yeah, you guys do. But like over here, it's completely like, they'll call off, like people, like actual employers here will let you call off work. And they'll consider it fine if, like, there's even a little bit of ice on the road. They're like, yeah, just fucking stay home.
Yeah, my dad's in Tennessee, and, like, if they're even calling for snow, they'll cancel school.
Really?
Yeah.
Indiana, they're just like, we don't give a shit. You're driving through this shit. My boss is like, if you don't get here, we're going to point you. And I was like, I my car's stuck in a ditch. They're like, we'll figure it out. I was like, okay.
Figure it out.
when my ball sack gets frostbitten, we'll figure that shit
out. Now, why are your balls out while you're walking to work?
Well, you know, they like to
do. Dude, it's the West Coast.
Yeah, Portland, right?
They let everything hang out here. I mean, case of point, that the lady earlier, she had it all hanging out and locked eyes with me, so at the stop line.
So, you know, they're like, keep Portland weird. And it's just like, well, the dude's ball sack is hanging out. That's plenty weird. So
it's not even like, you know, Portland just kind of like got a lot of chill people. Like, everybody's like, yeah, these people can have everything falling out. Who cares? You know, the governor's like, we're fine with everybody, you know, the homeless being wherever or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, we're super chill. It's like the closest you'll get to Canada in the U.S. It's pretty awesome. And it's when you work here too, you get actual sick time. So you don't even have to worry about like pointing out and stuff. It's like, it's super chill. I love it here.
I hate it in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, you are close to New Jersey. So,
unfortunately, yeah.
The armpit of America.
Yeah.
I mean, the plus side is I'm closer to MAGFest, but.
Yeah. I've never actually been to that.
You should always go.
I'm always too damn broke.
It's only a month away. So, let's do it.
Yeah, I could do it.
I was going to say, he tried to get me to do it, and I'm just like, I watch the kids those days. I'm not bringing them to MAGFest, too. Like, damn it.
Jacob needs some me time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I hear MAGFest is great. I mean, I've seen all the pictures, and then I sit here, and I get all, like, jealous, and I'm like, man, everybody's having so much fun, and I'm here, you know, working. You know, but it looks awesome. We've been trying to get my band, the Travelers, over there, but it just hasn't worked out where I could go. So it kind of defeats the purpose if the organizer isn't able to be there. But yeah,
maybe one of these years. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully the album sells really well, and so I can definitely invest in a MAGFest trip.
That would be awesome. Every time someone is on this show, I'm like, go to MAGFest. Just go check it out. It's awesome. It's a really good time. A lot of cool people there. And now we're a month away, and they're announcing some of the musicians. And I'm just like, do I really care this year?
Do they at least announce the one-ups? Because I feel like if they're not there, it's not MAGFest.
No, they announced like 16 or 18 artists so far, and I know like three of them. And I posted on Facebook that I'm kind of disappointed by the lineup, and people are mad at me because I'm judging it by an incomplete lineup. And just because I don't know the bands doesn't mean they're not good, which I said, I readily admit that I don't know them. They might be amazing, but because I don't know them, the lineup is just disappointing for me this year.
Well, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, it's like first impressions are you know, I feel like if you're announcing bands, you should announce the ones that everybody, like, I think you should announce, like, the biggest reveals first, because that way people know what they're getting right off.
Or at least start with some heavy hitters, then announce middles, and then save the best for last, I guess, but...
Give it a nice mixed bag, you know?
I'm just not feeling the lineup this year. I'm not... I hope it changes. I hope they add some more, but... Again, we're only a month away, and they're not even done. And I don't think they even announced a guest yet. Just musical guests, just concerts.
Now, didn't they? I think either last year or a couple years ago, they had like the composer of Kingdom Hearts, Yoko Shimomura, playing some Street Fighter music with. Can't remember who it was. Was it the 1-Ups? I think she played with them.
Oh God!
Or the mini bosses?
I have no clue. I can't remember. Last week, from last month.
Well, I know she was playing piano with them, and like I know they played like some Street Fighter 2 music, and that was pretty cool. I'd like seen a video of it on YouTube, and I was like, oh, that's awesome that they get like big shot composers like that, like you know, the composer of Command and Conquer. He was there playing with a few of my colleagues and friends, and I was like, I told my buddy, I was like, man, that's awesome, you got to play with him on stage, that's amazing. And he's like, yeah, Frank's a cool guy. And I was like, I bet he is, he seems like he's a cool person. So I was like, that's kind of cool that they get to have that interaction with the composers and the composers with the fans. That's I think what makes MAGFest really cool and special.
That's actually one of my favorite shows from recent years is the Tiberian Sons with Frank Kaplacki. It was just a really, really awesome show. Everyone was super into it. The music, of course, was fantastic.
Oh yeah.
I love the Tiberian Sons. We play them on the show way too much. Well, I should play them on this episode just to piss you off.
Oh, yeah. Just take all of my stuff out and just put I'll make sure to tell Nate that. He'll be like,
I'll tell Tony. Like,
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, the music's actually just going to be replaced with me humming the A-Team theme song.
Da-da-da-da.
Ba-ba-ba. Like, I just get really into it.
Only if you add sleigh bells to it.
There you go.
Well, we just unpacked all the Christmas shit, so
there you go.
Make that happen.
Start humming and hit some jingle bells, and hey, that's what we do for Christmas songs on this show. We just take normal music and add sleigh bells.
Hey, you know, that's kind of like putting like the minimal amount of effort into it.
That's exactly why we do it.
Yeah.
It's fun to ask friends, hey, do you want to do a Christmas song for my show? And they're like, I don't really have time. It's like, no. Just take anything you've ever done, add sleigh bells. Done. Christmas.
Well, I actually did do a Christmas song for our Travelers EP that we did, but it was like traditional songs. So we did like 3 or 4 songs on it. And that was kind of fun. I just haven't really been able to do much with them because I've been focusing on getting this one out. But we plan on hitting it once I get back from this trip, doing some stuff with them so you can belt out some stuff. I know you really liked one of the battle tracks I did for like seven. I think it was like a 7-minute piece that I did on that sucker. And I was just like, yeah, let's just throw like all these styles together. Who cares? It's like the fruitcakes of, it's like a fruitcake. If you want to Christmassy this, it's like a fruitcake of music. It's like, we just
but enjoyable.
Seen everything. Yeah, we'd seen everything on the table and then like threw it all together. We're just like, fuck it.
It's Scrapple.
Exactly.
It's like, does anyone else know what Scrapple is?
I do.
Well, of course you do.
Down in Lancaster. Yeah. Of course I do. It's like the freaking Scrapple capital of the world.
The leftover pig parts.
The parts the hot dogs don't want.
So, this album.
Speaking of things that nobody wants.
Well, you're on this show, so it's a perfect place for things no one wants.
Sure.
The album nobody wants, on the podcast nobody wants.
With the hosts nobody wants.
Nobody wants.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, tell us more about that. I'm looking at the track list here. Track 11 caught my eye. I always love when you have track names that I can't pronounce.
Yep.
So give us track 11. What the hell is this track called? Because it's got that B with the tail. I don't know how that's pronounced.
Oh, yeah. It's actually the Germans do it as it's like an it's like an S sound. So it's Mishka salt. So it's actually, surprisingly enough, Hamauzu being Japanese, but he actually, his parents raised him, and he was born in actually Munich, Germany. So all of the stuff at that time, he put all of that in German. So like all the track titles, like Felsschlacht, you have all these different ones that are in German. So it really was, I think, just like I really wouldn't want to presume what the composer's intent was for that. But I would have to say it would probably be related to that. If you're like using like normal conventions, like typing it up, it would be like M-I-S-S instead of the beta, or I don't even know what symbol that is.
I don't know what the hell it is either.
I just took it off of VGMDB and then just copied and pasted it. So that way it would be accurate to what it shows up on everything else. But that song is like one of my favorites. And my buddy Benjamin, he had performed a version of that Hamauzu arranged for one of his concerts. And when I heard that version, I was like, I got to do it for this album and do it strictly with strings. And so I did that. And that piece is 100% me doing it by ear. There's no MIDI that exists of that song specifically. So I had to listen to that track like hundreds and hundreds of times just to get all the, because normal, like mostly most composers like Uematsu from Final Fantasy, all of those, they're really easy to transcribe and hear what they're doing. But Hamauzu is very harmonically complex. He'll use a lot of chords that may sound like a certain chord to me, theory wise, but then he'll have like certain notes that clash. So then I really have to find, which notes clash and just figure it out in that what I'm listening to is translated to sheet music. And then on top of that, once I've done that part, I go in and I change stuff. And to make the arrangement unique and to me and what I'm trying to achieve through that, because when you're listening to a video game score, just the original tracks, they're from the game itself. So you have the benefit of the visuals of the game to reference. When you're doing an arrangement, I don't have those visuals to assist in these cases. So I try to capture the composer's intent and the game's intent for the story in these things. So sometimes I might use more than one theme, like in A Truth Revealed, which is another track on the album from Vagrant Story. That one I incorporated three themes in particular to describe a scene where the main character's wife dies as a result of his recklessness, I guess. And so her spirit comes back from the dead, and I use a cello and a viola to play in dissonance to each other to kind of make some sort of call from the netherworld. Like a ghost appearing before him and from the realm of the dead to tell him it's okay. I don't harbor resentment. I'm at peace. So it's kind of like these different themes. I really put a lot of thought into it, more than I probably should, but
hey, that's passion, man. That's passion. Yeah.
I mean, I like to think of it from a fan's perspective, and I don't really arrange music if I don't really connect with the game story and what, I like to do it from a fan's perspective. So if I'm not a fan of it, you won't see me arrange it, but I like to try to make the music specifically for the gamers, but also people who haven't, played the games enjoy it too. I mean, I've had people that have played, strictly in orchestras that play classical music, and they're like, this stuff is really awesome. And that to me is a win, because I then help the classical people show that this music is also very serious and very artful. Because some people, get on their high horse and they're like, Beethoven's really good and Bach and all that stuff, but that video game stuff, we're above playing that, And yeah, I try to
music's not real music.
Yeah. And it's like, it is. It's written by a live person, and it's written for musicians that are played, and it's meant for a medium that I think is really in depth. I mean, when you're writing music for a video game, like, I'm doing music for a video game called Fallen Aces. Not sure if you guys have heard of it on Steam. It runs off the Doom engine. And it's like,
no, I'm not familiar with that one. I'm not a big Steam gamer, so I miss a lot of Steam stuff.
Yeah, I hope we get it to console. It just probably will depend on how well it sells. But right now we're a team of three people, and we've got one of the voice actors that voice acted Duke Nukem.
So John St. John?
It. Yep. Nice. Yep. He's one of our characters. And then we've got River Kanoff. He did a lot of voiceover work for like different video games and stuff. He's our main character. I mean, the best part of the game was like they recorded in the demo. If you stand outside the bathroom stall, there's a guy just shitting for like 10 minutes and no repeat in audio. Like that to me is fascinating. Like you just sit, there and he's just like, oh man, I should have ate that lasagna. And he's like, going, you know, and all the while you hear my like fucking James Bond type shit happen. So it's like, you know, but it's pretty interesting. Like it's kind of like Watchmen, but like if Watchmen took place in like the 1930s or 40s, like during mafia gangster stuff. Mm. But it's pretty fun. But like, you know, that sort of thing is like with doing a video game, it's like, you know, I'll have to approach it like, okay, what's the player going to be feeling here? What is the player going to do? And then I write like variations on like if they enter the room like guns blazing, that's obviously going to be more intense music. Or if they're like, you know, sneaking around, or if they like get two guys to notice them versus like 16, you know. So it's like I think that's where a lot of people in classical world don't really understand, like if you're writing a video game score versus film or a concert. Film and concert are very set stories that never change no matter what, but the gamer will obviously screw all that up and make you have to think outside the box. So I just don't see why people don't see it as a serious medium, but here I am getting into the fucking philosophy of shit. So I'm sorry. I'm bringing
that back. I'm still interested in the whole 10 minutes of shitting.
So. Yeah. Soup cans and pennies, man. That's
no, are you but, familiar with the artist Chico Ray?
Yeah, or Jackson Pollock.
Oh no, I'm serious. If you've never heard of Chico Ray, I have got to get you an album that you can listen to.
Oh really?
It is absolutely there's a song on it called Shitting, and it is the most beautiful acoustic guitar I've ever heard, mixed with shitting. Just loud shitting. And it's one of my favorite songs to share with people because no one notices it. They're just like, this is a really beautiful song. This is really lovely.
This is some good shit.
Literally. Yeah, I love sharing that song with people. I will have to get you a link or a copy of that so you can check it out and listen to it.
Yeah.
I am going to change your world.
Yeah, I'm all for the mind being blown, you know. So yeah, definitely send me a link. I would definitely like to check it out.
Yeah, I will definitely set you up. I think we've played it on the show before too, but
next idea for my album, Hidden Shits. That's what I'm gonna call it.
Hidden Shits. The best is knowing the story behind it, where he's like, "Yeah, that was $1,000 microphone just hanging out in the bathroom." Like, wow, that's really impressive. And then they ended up knocking the microphone into a plate of spaghetti by accident for another one of the tracks.
Oh, shit. It'd probably really suck if they actually dropped that $1,000 mic into the toilet.
Oh, God.
That would probably be the end of that microphone.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
Yeah, and they just burned that one.
Nah, just put some Febreze on it. It'll be fine.
Just some Lysol. Just the Lysol wipe. Wipe it down. Good enough. Put it back out there. Put your face next to it. Yeah. Sing into it.
Lick it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, back to the album, because we're going to jump back to this in the worst ways possible. Looking at the track list, looking at the games covered, and it's like all RPGs and then Mirror's Edge. What brought that into the fold?
It's actually, I did a Mirror's Edge track in the first album. So I kind of was, I figured if this was a sequel, why not put another Mirror's Edge track in there? Just because it goes with everything, surprisingly, but it was actually one of the very first tracks I did for this. It didn't actually originally be, what was it? Originally intended to be focused on two composers. So I was just like, well, I'll just throw this in the middle here and see what happens. But I always been fascinated about taking pieces that are synthetic and making them organic. And so in this case, obviously the main theme to Mirror's Edge Catalyst was like this, you know, electronica piece that you would hear in like a club. And I wanted to take that and totally turn that into the absolute opposite. So I went in and did like a lot of really interesting techniques with it and tried to like, you know, keep that sense of movement and momentum, because that's what the game is. It's about momentum and running and, you know, doing all this parkour stuff. So I wanted to make that piece feel like that. So like you'll be moving and then sometimes you'll be at a pause. That pause is like her, you know, Faith looking over the skyscraper, you know, and then having to run it at it again. So that's kind of like, I just felt like it brought some color to the album, which is what the album's called, Kaleidoscope. It's about like a lot of colors. But yeah, Mirror's Edge was basically just a decision. I did Still Alive from the first game in the first album. So I thought, why not? We'll do the second one. And because people really liked it. So I was like, I'd be crazy not to do the follow up, but I really liked the song. It's a very great song. Warning Call. So, and I think Churches is the group that does the original, like they sing on it. And it's, and just from a, like a sound design standpoint, Solar Fields is just absolutely awesome. Like his music is sometimes a bit much to handle, because it can get a little, it can get really ambient with that, but when you're running from the enemies and stuff and you know the shit hits the fan, it's that music is like gives you like an adrenaline rush, as you should feel when you're running on skyscrapers running from like some fascist police force. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and hanging off like the fucking, you know, the helicopter, like hanging with one arm as the helicopter drops you off somewhere else and shit. It's like, yeah.
Jacob totally does that every other week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a Tuesday for you,
That's why I'm not on the show. I'm busy being dropped off of helicopters.
Yeah, that's his Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So the album is out now. Where can people get it? How much is it? Give us all the info on this thing.
Yeah. You can find it pretty much everywhere, except I don't think it's up on YouTube yet, because some of the outlets are kind of weird. They don't do things after the holidays. So like they might have it in January, but you can get it on Spotify, Bandcamp, which is the preferred place, mainly because I get the most money through that. So people who want to support me and my collaborators, the musicians on this album, so we could do another one in the future. That would be the place I'd prefer. Bandcamp gives us the most money for the work we do. Spotify, iTunes and all of them, they like take 50%. So it's, I mean, if you buy it, great. And then listen on to Spotify, even better. But you know, it's, if you're tight on money, then totally Spotify and iTunes and all that would be great. I believe Spotify is the only one that tells you what games they're from, I think.
I noticed that. I'm going off of your Twitter post where you listed all the games. My cheat sheet tonight.
And you can go on vgmdb.net too, and it actually lists them in chronological order to the actual like track list. So someone's already like done the work for me, which is great. Whoever does that, they're awesome. But
that's helpful.
But yeah, so like we usually do the tracks, or we do the games with the tracks. So we're working on that to change it, because we've had a lot of people ask. So I'm glad people are asking, because that means they're interested in what I'm selling. So yeah, but But yeah, so I mean, you can get it pretty much anywhere, at least the major places that most people access music from.
Cool. Well, we will have a link to the Bandcamp page down in our show notes so people can check that out. Hit up the link, pick up the album, and listen to it. I'll say this in the nicest way possible. It'll put you to sleep. I was having trouble sleeping. Turn it on. It is so soothing and so beautiful to listen to. I love it. It is just gorgeous music.
Yeah, it definitely, I definitely get that a lot with some of the stuff I do. But I mean, hey, in an age where people have trouble sleeping, if it gives someone peace, that's all that matters, man. You know, I'm speaking like someone from Oregon, man. It's like, you know, it's like peace and love. And as I hit up a doobie,
you fucking hippie.
Yeah. It's like, we're all super chill, man.
Oh man. Well, you know what else is super chill? The news of the week. Are you going to stick around and chat news with us, Josh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Big news of the week, a lot of Game Pass additions. We mentioned Game Pass before, and holy shit, there's just too many games. I've said it before, too many games come to Game Pass, and this week is no exception. This week alone, are you ready for this list?
Yeah.
We got Anvil.
I've girded my loins.
Okay. We've got Anvil, which is in game preview and is a day one launch. Archvale, which is a day one launch. Before we leave, Final Fantasy 13-2, Generation Zero, Lawn Mowing Simulator, Mind Scanners, which is a day one launch, Rubber Bandits, which is a day one launch, Stardew Valley, Townscaper, which is a day one launch, and Warhammer 40K Battle Sector, which is another day one launch. This week, all of that on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Fuck. I don't have the time.
They're making sure we don't.
It's just ridiculous how many friggin' games are coming to Game Pass. And that's not all, because next week on the 7th, we're getting Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator, which, Jacob, I know you're interested in that one.
Well, I mean, just based on title alone, yes.
Fair.
I mean, how the hell could you not?
December 8th is some little random indie called Halo Infinite.
I never heard of it.
Something like that.
It's probably going to fail.
Probably. Yeah. December 9th, One Piece Warriors 4.
I just bought that.
Did you?
Yeah.
One Piece Pirate Warriors 4.
Yeah, it was part of the Black Friday sale, the deluxe edition of it. What, I mean, I get all the DLC, so I mean, I got that going for me.
Now you own it. You don't have to worry about it being pulled. Because games do leave Game Pass, which we'll get to in a second. But December 14th, Aliens Fireteam Elite is joining Game Pass.
I saw that, and I was just like, oh, shit. Like,
I just bought that one, so.
Yeah, well, because I was hoping I'd get to review that one, but I didn't. And so I've been entering contests on Twitter. Like, whenever somebody's just like, oh, we've got the deluxe edition, it was like, ooh, click, I'll subscribe to whatever the fuck. So yeah, now I'm excited that this thing's just going to be on Game Pass and I'll just get it there.
There you go. And then one more game on December 14th. Finally, Among Us is hitting Xbox.
Which, I mean, that's cool. Going back to Aliens, though, I think they also said that, like, there's, like, a season 2 or something like that for the multiplayer coming out.
Probably.
Right around the same time it's coming out for Game Pass, so.
That would make sense. But, yeah, a lot of games joining Game Pass.
They're really, Xbox, I gotta say, I mean, I've been a Sony guy, so, and Joe's made fun of me for it. plenty.
But, if only Aki was here, she would be tearing you up right now. Well, she hates Sony.
Well, and I have grown to like Xbox more just because Xbox is actually trying to help with supplies. And Sony's just like, yeah, we're fully vested in the PS5, but none of you can get it readily because, and it's like, and then I'm here, I'm like, what about supporting my PS4 because you guys don't have the product? And then they're like, well, tough shit, man tits. You know, it's like, all right, well, shoot, you got me there, Sony. Well, I guess I'll be. And then I got my PC, and then I'm like, Xbox Game Pass, and I'm like, now I'm thinking about getting the Xbox Series X. So I'm like,
oh, you should have grabbed it when you saw it.
That was a shame on me, but I did buy a lot of sound libraries, so that way I could just write a whole bunch of music. So
that's fair.
But I'm really excited with playing some of the Warhammer stuff they got coming, and Aliens, like you guys said, that one looks really cool. I've been playing Back for Blood. Have you guys played that yet?
I have not, and I have it, which is a shame. I ended up getting the Ultimate Edition for it, and I haven't even fired it up yet. I just have not had the time. So now that I know you have it, I'm going to bug you to play.
Yeah, there you go. It's fun. It's not as fun when you have randos join your team. It sucks.
Yeah, that's why I haven't played it, because I need, I'm terrible at shooters. So I need people to carry my ass through it.
If you're terrible at shooters, this shooter will punish the hell out of you.
I've heard.
It's super punishing. They said that they're going to be tweaking the difficulty a bit, but my God, when you get towards the first act, you're like, oh shit, this is easy. Second act, they're like, you know, they just drop the wrecking ball over your ball sack. It's like, you know, they're like, yeah, we're going to hold your hand through act one. But then act two, it's like, you're on your own. You're 5 years old and now you have nothing. And it's like, oh shit. So it's like, because my buddies and I were like, as we progressively get through it, there's less and less resources for you to get. So you really have to think about where you want to put your cards and stuff. And it's like, it's super nuts. Like it's not like Left 4 Dead. I think people discredit it by comparing it to that, but it's this whole other beast. But it's super fun, but it'll wreck you if you're not careful.
Nice. I will wait for the patch to make it easier, and then I will bug you, and then we'll play.
Now you got to play it pre-patch, man. You got to get that cherry popped, and then once you get the cherry popped, then you can appreciate the easy stuff.
Oh, geez. Speaking of dropping your things on your balls, a couple of games are leaving Game Pass on the 15th. It's always sad to see games leave, but you know, things come, things go. Beholder is leaving. The Dark Pictures Man of Medan is leaving. Destiny 2 and its expansions are leaving, because I think Destiny 2 is free to play, but I think the expansions are getting rotated out with new content coming in. I don't know how Destiny does its shit. As far as I know, it's not even the same game as what launched.
I thought it was moving over to a different subscription service.
I don't know. It's leaving Game Pass. For some
reason, I thought it was moving over to PlayStation for a bit or something.
It's possible. Things jump back and forth between the two. So
it's probably going to be an Origin. The thing that everybody hates collectively.
Somehow it's on GameTap.
Some other games leaving. Guacamelee 2, which is a bummer. That game is awesome. Wilmot's Warehouse, which I've heard a lot of good about. I got to fire that up. Unto the End and Yooka-Laylee in the Impossible Lair. That is the Game Pass news.
I mean, some good titles, but everything that I'd want, I already own, so.
Yeah.
My balls are still unscathed there on that news.
Glad to hear it.
Well, PlayStation's busting a lot of people's balls, and people aren't happy with the PS Plus lineup for January. We covered this last week. It was rumored, but the fine details came out of what we're actually getting. Lego DC Supervillains and Mortal Shell, both for PS4. And to my knowledge, you do not get the PS5 upgrade for Mortal Shell. That would be a paid upgrade. And then Godfall Challenger Edition, not the full game. The Challenger Edition focuses on three unique modes. All three are endgame level content, but you'll immediately be equipped with a spread of weapons and skill points. And players can upgrade to the Deluxe Edition, gaining access to Godfall and the extra campaigns for an additional price. So they don't even get the full game.
Yeah,
good shit. Thanks, Sony. Reminder, yep. Games with Gold for December is The Escapist 2, Tropico 5 Penultimate Edition, Orcs Must Die, and Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. So it's not a great month for either, but, you know, it's the holidays, so what do you expect?
Yeah, PlayStation has had some good months, but, like, here lately, it's... I just see Xbox as, like, really stepping things up and, you know, being a lot more fan friendly because, you know, it's like they, like, a lot of these heavy hitter titles are like day one Xbox Pass.
Yeah.
And PS Now, I mean, I tried it when they, like, right before they put Red Dead 2 on there, but PlayStation Now doesn't have hardly any of the titles that Game Pass has. And I know I can argue this all day with PlayStation fanatics, but you know, it's like I've played on both sides of the spectrum, and I've just been generally like, PlayStation does have some really cool exclusives like Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima, which obviously now that's no longer going to be an exclusive. So I guess it's really like a good thing for PC people, because they kind of get the best of anything.
PC gets everything.
Yeah, they do.
Now Sony's getting all in on the PC side.
Which is, it's about time they have, because now that means I no longer have to buy their consoles. So in a way, Microsoft still wins because you're still playing on a Microsoft, you know, OSs, and you're still like getting Game Pass. So, I mean, Microsoft still ultimately wins somewhere.
Yeah.
Eventually. So
no, got to include the third party in this, Nintendo. They have their Nintendo Switch Online and expansion pack. They have an update coming December 10th. Are you ready for this huge update?
Oh yeah,
Paper Mario. One game? That's it.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I thought it was just one game, like literally one game.
Yeah, Paper Mario for the N64. That's it. No NES, no SNES, no Genesis. Just Paper Mario.
Where's our GameCube titles? That's what I want to see.
On the Wii U?
Yeah.
On your GameCube? Duh.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised they haven't done a GameCube classic. I'm really surprised they haven't cashed in on that.
In due time, I'm sure.
We need the
N64 classic first.
Yeah.
With the weird-ass controller.
I felt kind of silly with getting the SNES classic because... my buddies all made fun of me for it because they're like, you could, they're like, ROMs, emulators, you idiot.
I don't know. I'd like, rather pay and play legit these days.
Yeah, that's what I'd rather do. And I like the feel of the controller. I like having, like, the mini console was really cool. Just like the nostalgia feels, you know?
We're now old, and we now fear copyright infringement and having to spend 20 years in prison, like those warnings always said at the beginning of the video
game. Yeah, I don't have 20 years left in me.
I know. We're all just sitting there like, I wouldn't survive prison. I better pay this $80 for this thing.
Not to mention how many people will beat the shit out of you for, like, what are you in for? Copyright infringement. Games. Oh, let's beat up the nerd.
Loser. What are you in for, murder? What are you in for, rape? What are you in for, Star Fox?
I just really had to play Star Fox 2.
Oh, man. All right. Speaking of games that have been gone for a while and came back recently, Kingdoms of Amalur is getting its Fatesworn DLC on December 14th. It includes a new storyline, new environment, new weapons and armor, new enemies, and fucking finally a level cap increase to 50.
Woo!
Hell yeah. It'll be out on Xbox, PS4, and PC for $20. Or if you bought the Fatesworn edition, you should be getting it already. No word on the Switch, though. So.
Well, fuck them anyway.
Hey, I'm just happy I could finally get a higher level cap.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing that you've been yelling about for
20 years.
Ever. 20 years?
Yeah.
What?
30 years I've been yelling about Kingdoms of Amalur.
And it's all been worth it.
Yes. Since my days in preschool, I was like, Kingdoms of Amalur! It will be grand! They're like, what the hell are you talking about? Get your finger paint out.
I actually got that on the, they had it free. I think it might still be free on PlayStation, isn't it? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I have it on my library, but I haven't installed it yet. I did play it when it first came out and I loved it. So
I loved it so much. I was so glad when it got a rebirth on current gen, and the fact that it got new DLC and there's like potential for a sequel. I'm excited.
Ooh, I didn't hear about that.
Well, potential. There's no word, but you know, if they're putting out new DLC for it, they obviously see something in the franchise.
Yeah, and people must be like really liking it. So people must be buying it or playing it, and so they probably figured that was necessary to give it new story. So yeah, that's hopefully it does. I mean, the world and the lore and the everything about the game was unique. Yeah. You know, I liked. Plus, it was written by one of my favorite fantasy authors, so Ari Salvatore. So
yeah, too bad Kurt Schilling was involved.
Yeah.
Dying Light 2 has gone gold ahead of its February 4th release date, so that should be on time. That's good. I'm excited for Dying Light 2. That one looks good.
I wonder if it's going to come to Game Pass. That'd be pretty cool if it does.
That would be cool. Microsoft, are you listening? Are you listening?
They're cool, so they probably will.
Who knows? Maybe eventually. I don't know if it'll show up at launch, but maybe eventually. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Deep Rock Galactic is hitting PS4 and PS5 in January. So if you've been waiting for that to hit PlayStation, you're in luck. It's hitting in January. Good news. Something that won't be around for much longer, though, is Titanfall, because Respawn has delisted the original Titanfall, and it will be removed from EA Play on March 1st. Servers will remain online for the dozen or so people who still play it.
And as I told Joe the other day, if you are still looking for Xbox keys for it, there's still plenty of them out there. I managed to score one for the Digital Deluxe Edition for like $5 and some change. So
yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure that like the disc, that's what the disc version goes for at GameStop. So you know,
no, it probably doesn't even go for that at GameStop. 99 cent.
They're like, oh, would you like a free coaster?
I was at my local GameStop today, and they just gave me a poster for Far Cry 6 because they said they got like 100 copies of the game and 300 posters. So I got a free poster, and then they gave me a free steelbook for Battlefield 2042 because that sucks too, and no one wants it.
Fantastic. And it turns out, according to GameStop, I slightly overpaid. I could have gotten it for $4.99. Damn
it. There you go. That's more than I would have expected from GameStop.
Wait, what? GameStop's still selling the PC version of Titanfall. Oh, like, wow. You could just get it digitally from them for $20, which is really overpriced, but geez.
Good stuff. Now, the last bit of news I have is that the physical releases for the GTA trilogy have been delayed. The Xbox One and PS4 versions will release December 17th. The Switch is planned for early 2022, but it's just more bad news for the GTA trilogy.
And apparently they've added fog to San Andreas, finally.
I heard the rain in 3 looked like Vaseline.
I'm just not even bothering with it, and I kind of wish I had picked up the like the original digital versions before they delisted them.
Well, 3 and Vice City were never available digital for Xbox.
They weren't?
No.
No, I thought they were.
San Andreas was, and it's playable on Xbox One, but even if you had the original Xbox disc, it gave you the 360 version of the game, which was basically a port of the mobile game.
Right, and that's the version that I have.
Yeah.
So
even if you have the original San Andreas disc for the original Xbox, you can't play that version on Xbox One. You would need to fire that up on your original Xbox.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Licensing,
I kind of wish they would have went a little bit better with the graphics. Like, it looks probably way better than the original. I haven't seen any comparison videos, but I just kind of wish they would have did more with it. You know,
I wish they would have just been like some other studios where they're like, oh, you're making really fucking awesome mods for like our old ass games that nobody plays. Yeah. Why don't we bring you in and you make the definitive version for us?
Like, yeah.
Cause yeah, it's just, all they did is just shut down a bunch of fan mods who did it way better than whoever the fuck Rockstar hired to do this.
Grove Street Games, whoever they are. Like, Doc Havoc came in talking about the dumpster fire of crap that's known as the GTA trilogy remaster. Yes, yes, we are. That dumpster
fire. It's the fire. Cyberpunk 2077 of 2021.
Which I thought the Cyberpunk was the Cyberpunk of 2021.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought that one got released in December last year.
I don't remember. I'm too old.
It's been too long anyway. I've played like half, like probably three quarters of the game, and then I just stopped because I couldn't do it anymore. I was like trying to ignore all the problems and just play the story. But I'm like, ah, God dang it, I can't do it anymore. It's just
were you playing on a console or PC?
Unfortunately, I was playing on the PS4, and I was just sitting there. I was just like, fuck, this is horrible.
Refund?
No, it was after I was stubborn. I was like, they're gonna patch this, it's gonna be better, and then they never did, and I was like,
fool.
Oh. I was crying in the corner in the fetal position. I was just like, and the worst part of it was, the part that really sent me over the edge with it was the part where I'm like, I used my, I think, Jackie's motorcycle on there, and I was cruising around. I was going so fast, the game could not possibly load the textures fast enough. And out of the middle of nowhere, I hit just actual air, and it launched me off my motorcycle and flung me all the way across Night City.
Oh, geez.
I was just like, and then I magically appear underneath the pavement. I was like, oh my. And it was like the fourth or fifth time I did this quest or whatever. And it was annoying to begin with that quest. But then when that glitch happened, I was just like, you know what? I'm deleting this off my hard drive. Fuck this. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I'll wait till it gets discounted on PC. I'll download it there and my worries will be over.
And then you ignored it for the rest of your life.
I did. And now I just play Game Pass.
There you go. The rumor is it's coming to Game Pass, but apparently CD Projekt came out and said the game's not ready for Game Pass.
The game's just not ready, period.
I heard it played pretty well on PC, though.
It was supposedly good on PC, and it supposedly plays pretty well on PS5 and Series X and S, but the PS4 and Xbox One just can't do it.
Yeah, it won't. And it's really bad on the textures. Like, I thought Cold War was rough when I played Call of Duty Cold War on PS4. Playing on the current, like the older gen, not so good. Like when you open a match, like you'll just see through the entirety of the floor of the level and no textures for like about a minute.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So it's like quality. I can tell that these companies are just like, screw the last gen, we're optimizing it now for the next gen, and they can just go screw themselves. You know, it's like, that's kind of how I feel, and that's why I'm like, I'm just really, Sony's the worst about this, because they're like, we know everybody doesn't have the PS5, but you know, we're not going to support those gamers that have been playing this other console that is, you know, tried and true. And and so Xbox is just doing a lot better. But I mean, you guys, you know, the conversion's been a long time coming for me, so I just thought I'd tell you, Joe, because I know that it brings you joy that Sony's lost yet another customer. So
good, you have joined the light side.
Yep. Cues the Force theme.
Yes, wonderful, beautiful. Oh man, yeah, that's the news I got. Jacob, what do you got?
Well, today EA has announced that it plans on building a connected Battlefield universe across multiple games and studios. Because, you know, the 2042 has done so well. So, obviously, EA has learned from Mass Effect Andromeda, you know. So, obviously, this time, we'll continue the universe that wasn't doing so hot.
Yeah. Didn't they make Vince Zampala of Respawn like the head of Battlefield now?
Yes. And also, he's still doing whatever the hell he was doing now. However, DICE general manager Oscar Gabrielson has left DICE. Huh. So, woo.
Yay. What else you got?
So, 6 different states are now pressuring Activision over all their bullshit. California, Massachusetts, Illinois, Oregon, Delaware, and Nevada.
Yeah.
Are going after the company. So,
good on you, Delaware. You're doing something.
And the various state treasurers noted that they would weigh a call to vote against the reelection of its incumbent directors. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. AKA, the various states are telling Activision to get their fucking shit together.
Yeah, they need to.
The devs behind DC Universe Online are now also working on a Marvel MMO. Cool. It's going to come sometime after 2023. Qualcomm is, which I didn't even fucking know that they were still around. Working with Razer, they're creating some sort of new dev kit that's going to be being used for a lot of like handhelds and phones, specifically for gaming. In case anybody cares about the business end of things.
Not at all.
pretty much essentially what they think is that the future is going to be stuff along the lines of like the Nintendo Switch and the Valve Steam Deck. So what these things are going to be is like they think it's going like the future is in Android devices that all these like little mini companies can just build and do whatever the fuck with. And so they're going to make a dev kit that's really easy to start up with this kind of shit. So
Ian is not happy about that Marvel MMO news. He's like, there goes any hope of a decent Marvel MMO. I haven't played DC Universe Online, so I can't comment.
I used to play it way back in the day. I created a character named Judge Stark, and I made him look like Judge Dredd, except with like Iron Man colors. And he could run really fast and run up buildings and shit. I don't know. I thought it was okay. I mean, but then again, it was also pretty much my first MMO that I got into, so I may not have known what makes an MMO good at the time.
Yeah,
but I dug it.
What was that other Marvel Online game that was out earlier in the generation that got shut down?
Which one? You're describing
the one on console. The one that was on Xbox. It was kind of like online multiplayer Diablo style. Like the top down.
Are you thinking of Ultimate Alliance?
No. Yeah. No. It was an online game. Like MMO style. They had a hub world.
Oh,
and
God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm waiting for someone to chime in on chat. It's Marvel something.
It wasn't like Avengers Striker or something like that.
Oh, God. I don't even remember.
I think you're right. I think it's
Marvel Strike Force. But yeah. That was a mobile game. Jeez, I don't know. Marvel MMO Xbox. I think it was, man.
I mean, the only one that I come up with is Marvel Heroes.
Oh, yeah, Marvel Heroes Omega.
That's that.
Man, that went out like a wet fart. Jesus. I don't even remember. Like, I didn't even remember it coming out.
I don't even remember it at all. that's about how significant it is. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it comes up with like DC Universe in my search at least. So
good God, yeah. Yeah,
Marvel Heroes Omega. That's definitely it.
I think that the problem is that there have been so many damn Marvel projects that they just like they announce, they release, and they cancel within like a year. That I like it just. You could honestly make up a bunch of like Marvel titles, and I'd just be like, "Oh yeah, wasn't that on Xbox?" I think so. Like, because the thing is that the Marvel Heroes Omega, yeah, you can't even find it up on the fucking Xbox site anymore.
Yeah, it's gone. It's delisted.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, I thought they had announced the damn thing back at the one time I went to Comic-Con in New York City. Like they had like some sort of like big to do about it, but. like, it was just like, it's a video game. I don't give a shit. I'm not here to, like, look at video games. instead, I'm going to fangirl over Guillermo del Toro, so.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I still refuse to shake my right, or I still refuse to wash my right hand.
Gross. So.
He touched it once.
In any other context, that would be disturbing.
Oh, shit. What else you got, Jagan?
The only other thing I found was an interesting article from Rochester Institute of Technology. One of their museum studies alumni was the one who discovered the Super Mario Brothers 3 video game demo that it had made, like trying to convince Nintendo to port all their shit to PC. So like they had made like the very first level of Super Mario Brothers 3.
I thought it was just Mario 1.
No, it's Super Mario Brothers 3. There is one of Super Mario Brothers 1, I think, but the one that id made was a demo of Super Mario Brothers 3. But it's just, I don't know, it's just a really interesting interview. If you go up on our Facebook page, which is only updated with news articles and shit posts, you can find it there. Otherwise, you could just go to rit.edu. But it's an interesting read. I recommend it. So
I won't do it.
But otherwise, it's because you don't know how to read, Joe.
Don't you sass me.
Pictures only.
I have to read your fucking review topics and talk about things, and I know how to read sometimes.
No, you don't.
Josh, any video game news you want to talk about?
Man, I don't. I mean, aside from like a lot of rumors that I hope are true, like the fact that there was like this huge, like that NVIDIA leak. I don't know if you guys talked about that, where they had like people were finding out that there might be a Final Fantasy IX remake and Chrono Cross remake and Final Fantasy Tactics remaster.
I heard about Chrono Cross. That's the only.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
I'm just like, out of either one of them, why did you pick the one that sold the least? Like, why not get the one that everybody knows about, like Chrono Trigger? I can't even say anything nice about Chrono Cross except for the music. The music I can say a lot about, and it's great. The only good thing about that game, but story-wise, the game just was a complete dumpster fire of turds. It was just... And I'm so sorry, Square, about speaking so strongly about it. But Chrono Trigger was a lot more... It was more consistent with its storytelling. And I love the characters more. Just everything was good about it. And I'm just like, I don't know if it's because it was on Super Nintendo and they just have to avoid it at all costs. I don't get their choices sometimes. But I'm hoping the 9 remake is good. I like that game. And Tactics is just an amazing tactical RPG that I really enjoy. It's super, super punishing AI that I hope they tweak for a remaster, of course. Because like when you level up in the game, your enemies like get considerably tougher. So like I've actually never beaten it, because the enemies just get considerably more tougher, and I'm like a grinder, so the game punishes you for grinding altogether. And so like when you get to a boss, it just totally wipes the field. So I'm just like, I hope at least they do some quality of life things where it's not, you know, it doesn't completely neuter the whole game, but I want them to like, you know, make it balanced at least, but I don't know.
No, I can't wait for whatever rumored games there are to not come to Xbox.
Yeah.
Thanks, well, it'll Square.
Square actually has released a good... I mean, like with 13.2, so I mean, and I think, isn't Zodiac Age still on Game Pass?
I think so, but there's so many games that just Square doesn't bring to Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
Like Crystal Chronicles, Secret of Mana didn't make it, The Collection of Mana didn't make it, Collection of Saga didn't make it. Neo
Romance with you.
Like nothing makes it over to fucking Xbox from Square, and it sucks.
I think they're putting all the games that are like the B sides, I guess you could say, if we're using music terms, like the less popular things. But I mean, they did throw Zodiac Age on there, which I was, I'd love to play the Secret of Mana stuff and Trials of Mana, that remake that it got. I would love to see that on there, just so I could play it, because I have heard that people really enjoyed that game, but yeah. I've never actually, again, I haven't played that one because I don't think that one ever released in the US. It wasn't like they didn't domesticate that release. It was strictly Japanese. So the only way you could play it would be illegal means and getting a fan translated version. So, which, you know, is a, you know, I don't like to do, but yeah.
Oh man. Well, I guess that is the news for the week. Josh, we're going to let you get going. We have some reviews to take care of. So sure. We are going to let you enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Yeah. End of the show, we're going to play some music from you. So that people stick around and wait for that. But yeah, it's awesome having you on.
Yeah, well, it's always a pleasure and nice meeting you, Jacob. And nice, I hope we can do this again. Yeah, I hope we can do this again sometime. And hopefully if everybody listens to music, they'll definitely buy it. Give it a shot on Spotify if they can't buy it, because I know times are tough. And thanks again for all the people who support me over the years. It's always a dream job to be able to keep doing what I like to do. So,
well, where can people keep up to date with you? Give us all the info.
Oh, will do. All right. Thanks, guys.
Oh, no, where can people keep up to date with you?
Oh, yeah.
Give us the links. Leave us.
Yeah, we're like, waiting. Yeah, get out of here. Yeah, you can keep up with me. My website was up, but with the pandemic and me not getting a lot of gigs, I had to shut the site down. So you could actually find a lot of my information on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook. I have my own Facebook group. And also I think you can follow me on Instagram. I have that as well. And I also post things about that, new releases on there as well. So nice. Complete with all the links and the deets.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming on. You have yourself a wonderful night and we will catch you probably next year. We'll have you back on sometime. You're always finding your way back on our show. We'll find you again.
I know. It'll probably be about travelers, so we'll be talking about some folk music, hopefully.
Hey, so. I'm ready for it. Bring it on.
All right, we'll do.
Yourself a good night, Josh.
You too.
Take care. All right, Jacob, you ready for reviews?
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Well, also, before we get into reviews, I will confirm it actually was Marvel Heroes that was being advertised when I went to Comic-Con that one year. Yeah. Yeah, that thing like limped along on PC and Mac for years before they like did like a console version, and then like Disney shut it down like 6 months into the console version's life.
I really enjoyed it too.
Shit.
Yeah, it was shitty. But anyway, review time. First game to talk about tonight is Oddworld Soulstorm Enhanced Edition, developed and published by Oddworld Inhabitants. Physical version distributed by Microids, released November 30th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $39.99. A revolution needs a leader. A leader needs followers. You will help guide Abe on his journey to save them all. Along the way, you face nearly impossible odds in a massive 2.9D world where death is the most likely outcome. Every moment is another choice between raining down brute force upon your oppressors or executing stealth maneuvers to avoid detection. Jacob, tell us about your time with Oddworld Soulstorm Enhanced Edition.
Oh, God. So I haven't played any of the Oddworld games in ages. It's got, like, and it's really weird thinking that the franchise is, it's got, like, what? It's, like, almost 25 years old at this point,
right? From the PS1.
Yeah, and I have not played it since early 2000s. So this was a bit of a jump. Now this is like a reimagining of one of the older games. I'm not sure which one, but so pretty much, the first thing that the game introduces you to is this title screen that's got Abe, and like you can move Abe's eyes around with the right stick, and damn, that is creepy. Just getting that out of the way there.
By the way, it's really a recreation of Abe's Exodus.
Okay.
From the PS1.
So pretty much what it is that you are Abe, obviously, and you just, like, you have to get from point A to point B on all these different levels. And most of the time, you are also trying to lead followers. Now, like, you can give them various commands as to what to do. But you're not only are you trying to get from point A to point B, but you're also trying to make sure as many of your followers survive as possible. God, and it's just, I swear to God, it should have just been called Lemmings or something, because
Sony owns Lemmings, so.
Oh, well. But it's just like, you just, like, I didn't have any problems controlling my character, but all of the followers, getting them to, making sure that they do what I tell them to do. I mean, it's like being a manager of any kind of team. Nobody wants to do it. And so what was really frustrating for me was that these followers also seem to be really hell-bent on just dying as frequently as they could,
as violently as they could.
Yeah, and it's just like, and thank God for all of the checkpoints that are in the game, because, like, pretty much the game has a checkpoint for anything that involves, like, you having to get past something, whether it's just like, oh, well, you need to jump over this thing, or you need to get past this fire and make sure nobody sets themselves on fire, or you have to sneak past this guard, or guards, I should say. And it's just, like, as I said, I had no problem getting myself by it, but making sure that the followers were doing what I was going to do, or what I wanted them to do, was just...
Ian puts it so succinctly in chat, the followers are hella mad lazy derp asses.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And it's just like, if they could get themselves killed, they will. And so the game's not, I wouldn't say the game's bad or anything like that. It's just, it's frustrating. Looks
spectacular. Like, this is a beautiful game.
The graphics are fantastic. They are beautiful. The soundtrack I thought was pretty nice too, but, like, it's really the graphics that are really selling this game. Like, it looks fantastic, even on my little Xbox One. I was playing
Series X,
on.
It looks phenomenal. I love the humor of it too. I've always been a fan of the Oddworld humor.
Yeah.
The gameplay, though, I think is going to be the big sticking point for a lot of people, in the fact that controlling your followers can be a chore, and that's the challenge of the game, is trying to get your dumbass followers to do what the fuck you want them to.
And that's part of the thing. I mean, because it's just like, it's part platformer, part stealth, part, like, whatever else that the game decide to throw in. And it's just like, do you want, like, a simple platformer, or do you want, like, a game that's also going to throw, like, a big friggin' challenge, but also throw you a bone with all the save points with it? And that's one of those things that, like, you just have to decide with it. It's a really beautiful game. Theoretically, it plays well, but the AI for your followers is just, oh, God. So, personally for me, this is a game that I would say is a try it. But, you know, I mean, if you're a fan of the Oddworld series, then honestly, I would figure that this is something that you would have already bought.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're a fan of the series, you probably already owned it on PlayStation. You probably bought a PS5 for this game if you're an Oddworld fan.
Well, I was going to say, because I believe that the Enhanced Edition, this is the Xbox port for it. With some other stuff. Although I had read online that there is, like, some of the PS5, or I think they said PS5, PlayStation, whatever, DLC that was missing. I didn't get that far into the game, so I couldn't tell you. But, like, so the PS5, or so, like, the PS4, PS5 version may still be, like, the definitive edition of it. But as I said, like, it's a glorious looking game. It looks fantastic. It's a hell of a challenge. So, you know, gird your loins and play and check it out.
Ian in chat saying, as an OG Oddworld player, if you've endured the original games from start to finish, you'll love the remakes. If you've never played the OG games, dealing with the derp-ass AI will test the very limits of your patience, which I can agree fully. So,
yeah.
Overall, $40 on this one. What are your thoughts?
As I said, I find it more of a try it. I think Ian's right on that one. Definitely, you know, if you're a fan of the series and you already know what you're getting into, then you're fine with this. But if you're new or you haven't played in a long ass time, like me, I would say it's more of a try it. So somewhere in there.
Works for me. And I still love the very beginning of the game where the dude pops his head out the train, sees the
fucking yeah,
holy shit, that was beautiful. Loved it. Carnage, thank you for the 16-month resub. Hugs for that. Always good seeing you in chat. Got to get you back on the show soon so you could punish us. Ha, ha, ha. Get it? Puns?
I hate you.
Puns?
Yeah, shut up.
You get it?
Shut up.
Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you fucking get it?
Shut your whore mouth.
Next game to talk about is Evil Genius 2 World Domination, developed and published by Rebellion, released November 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $39.99. Evil Genius 2 is a satirical spy-fi lair builder where players take control of an evil genius and set their plans for world domination in motion. When it feels this good to be bad, the forces of justice don't stand a chance. Jacob, tell us about Evil Genius 2 World Domination.
So, I hadn't played the original one, although I think I have it on Steam. But anyway, so pretty much it is this, it's a simulation game where you are like the classic Bond villain. You know, you could either be like, you know, this guy who's just has a shitload of money. You could be a scientist. You could be, there's two other different like evil geniuses that you're allowed to be, and I forget what the heck they are. I went with the guy with the most money because I figured that would help me get along easier in the beginning. And so pretty much it's just you're also allowed to choose whatever, like, you know, island villa that you want to, you know, set your traps in and all that other kind of stuff. And you have all these henchmen who will go around and do whatever you say. But of course you need to take care of your henchmen while you're also building your magnificent evil lair, which can have all sorts of stuff like vaults and power plants and, you know, traps. Like there's also like a jail that you can set up. And the game very initially holds your hand and is like, okay, well you need to do this. And like, here's how you need to build it, and we're going to tell you where to put this. And then after two things, it's like, by the way, all right, you need to build a power plant, and you need to start doing all this other kind of stuff. And I think it's really cool that it like lets you just do whatever. However, even when you're set on easy, and like the game makes it clear, like easy is for people who have never played this game or are not familiar with this genre. It's still very much is like, okay, we're done holding your hand, have fun figuring out the rest. And it was just my supervillain's place just went to hell immediately. Trying to build up all this kind of stuff, and it's just like, all right, well, you need to have, like, because the game explains you need to have doors in front of all your stuff, but then if you build your rooms too close, you end up knocking out the wall, and then you can't build doors. And then so, like, there it is. All right, my whole entire, like, you know, bank vault area is now just like it has a door, but it also now has this just wall that's just completely gone, and now everyone can just go around the corner and just go right into my vault and steal all my damn gold. The game just, you know, it introduces more stuff and you can customize it as you want. And then, as you progress through the game, you can now start doing all your evil things, which pretty much, just involve different areas of the world. And then you can start, you know, doing crimes there. And like, it starts off with simple stuff like bank robbery, but then, it moves up with like assassinations and other stuff, which of course you have to have people trained to do these kind of stuff. So you have to get these henchmen to go off and do these jobs, and then you upgrade stuff, and then you start bringing in people like scientists and assassins and all this other kind of stuff. And there is just a damn lot going in this game. And it felt like this is like most likely a PC game that got ported to Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And I was playing it, and this is definitely a game that you cannot play. Like, you cannot like sit on your couch 10 feet away from your TV. You definitely need to be sitting way closer to make sure that you're understanding everything and that you're able to see everything that you're supposed to be doing. And I still don't know if I'm doing it right.
Ian wants to know if it still has all that mad, distracting tourist bullshit, whatever that means.
There's people that can visit your casino and stuff like that, because of course that's how you fund your evil stuff. There are tourists, but I haven't really run into them yet. I don't know if my henchmen are keeping them away, or perhaps like part of my lair was sufficiently built well enough to keep them out. They weren't as much of an annoyance for me, but that also might be because I was on the very lowest player level for it. So
makes sense.
Yeah. I thought it was a very interesting game to get into. I haven't really played anything. It felt like SimCity except for, you know, Bond villains. I don't know. I dug it. I felt like I would have been more comfortable with it on PC than Xbox, but I still think it's worthwhile checking out. And of course, actually, not to plug Xbox Game Pass, but to plug Xbox Game Pass, it is on Xbox Game Pass right now. Yeah, so if you want to check it, shut up, Joe. You
dingleberry. I was going to say,
this is my review.
Oh, I'm going to stab review. You. Stab you. Good. I have a marker in my hand. It's going in your jugular.
Thank God.
So yeah, the game, if you're curious and on the fence about it, it is on Game Pass, which we talked about the Game Pass editions earlier. It's part of that. It's part of the 400 games that have joined Game Pass this month. But yeah, the game's sitting at $40 otherwise. What are your thoughts on this one?
It's definitely worth it. As I said, like the whole like screen to where you like how close you have to sit up to your screen was a bit of an issue for me, and I would have appreciated more hand holding in the tutorial levels, but otherwise I enjoyed it. Like, I'm definitely going to be returning to it. Cool. You know, if you're a little like I don't know about this, then just check it out on Game Pass. But for $40, it's totally worth it. Absolutely. I'm actually a little surprised it's not more.
Cool. Well, there is a season pass, so if you want extra DLC, there's minion packs, and there's let's see what they have here: Mechanical Minions pack, the Abomination pack, Rise of the Valkyrie pack, and then if you're a cheap bastard, they have the Team Fortress 2 pack and the Portal pack, which are both free.
Oh, well, I am a cheap bastard, so
there you go.
There you go.
All right, next game is Asterix and Obelix Slap Them All, developed by Mr. Nuts Studio, published by Microids, released December 2nd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Everything is falling apart. Our two heroes will travel all around the world to fight the Roman Empire in a 2D horizontal scrolling beat-em-up game, completely hand-drawn and made in the purest tradition of the genre. Enemies and wild boars will have to be cautious. Asterix and Obelix are back, and it's going to be another great fight. Jacob, tell us about your time with this one.
So it's based on the classic French comic strip and comic book about these two Gauls who are constantly at odds with the Romans, and it's a lot of comedy, it's a lot of action. Highly recommended if you get around to checking it out. But pretty much what this is that it's like Streets of Rage with French cartoon characters.
Yeah, 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up brawler.
Yeah, and so it's just you're moving from, you know, it's a standard beat-em-up brawler. You move from point A to point B. You beat up as many Romans and pirates as you possibly can. You know, you collect coins, which really just, all they do is just help your score. And there are barrels and other stuff hiding around the levels, which of course hide food, which bring back your health and all that kind of stuff. The game itself, even on the easy setting, I found it to be very challenging. Like even right in the first act, like it ramps up the difficulty pretty quick with those damn Romans with the spears that they throw.
Yeah, the spear throwing guys suck, and then the guys that like do the waving arm thing and charge at you, and they hit you like 12 times in a row.
The fat pirates?
Yeah, those motherfuckers.
All right, so the fat pirates, I was like, whatever about, because I mean, those guys are standard for beat 'em ups, but the Romans with the spears, those bitches, those fuck those guys, because they'll seriously just nail you, like they'll nail you from halfway across the screen. And on top of it, if you've got a group of them going, and it's just like you will not be able to get like anywhere near them, like you will have to route yourself around them and then hit them up. But
here's the solution: double tap a direction. You do a charge attack and it knocks everyone the fuck over, and you just dash across the screen. So
my favorite of what to do was actually like picking up like a guy who was kind of like loopy, and then just using that like that guy
swinging him around.
Oh my god, I would just swing him around all over the damn screen. That was a lot of fun, and it really wipes out a lot of those guys because you can also throw them then too.
Yeah.
The hand-drawn animation looks beautiful. Like, it looks gorgeous, great
looking game. I love hand-drawn games. It is all beautifully done. It's just a really, really good looking stylish game.
Yeah. And I'm hoping it gets noticed, because I mean, I know here in America, Asterix and Obelix are not really known here.
No.
I knew of them back in the day, but like my foray for them into video gaming was only because of that Xbox 360 title that you had, like
the Olympics on.
Yeah, the one that like he had turned me on to, because you were just like, oh well, they're like, it's a European only game that had like a limited
Canadian.
I'm getting to that in a second, fucko. It was a European game that had a very limited run up in Canada because of Quebec, because they're French speaking up there. And so like the game was like, that thing was worth like $90, and how much were we were
scoring?
We were, yeah, but it was like insanely.
You're asking me details from like more than 2 hours ago. Good luck.
But it was just like, it was an incredibly rare game. And that's how I got into them, actually, because of your dumbass. But yeah, and so it's just like, ever since then, I've been picking up every single one of their titles that I can, and I love them. And this one's no different. It's a good, solid beat 'em up, and if you're looking for a challenge, they're ready to give it to you.
Xbox version only goes for about $30 now for the Olympic game. I wonder if it got a reprint or something.
Say, damn it, because I know we've spent way more than that on it.
Yeah, well, we've spent a lot on a lot of things that aren't worth much anymore.
That is true.
It's still a cool game to have because it's such a limited release. Too bad they never made it backward compatible. Come on, Xbox, restart the backward compatibility program, you bitches.
Oh, what a surprise that it's not backwards compatible.
Bitches. So Asterix and Obelix Slap Them All is sitting at $30. What are your thoughts on this one?
For $30, it's a little pricey for me, but honestly, I mean, it's a high quality game, and I can't really fault them on that one. And honestly, I think that's usually what the rest of the series retails for. But it's a good, solid game, and there's definitely a lot of challenges in there for even the most seasoned beat 'em up player out there. So yeah, for $30, I definitely recommend it. I had a lot of fun with it, and I think you all will too.
Yeah, I'm going to see this one through to the end. I'm having a lot of fun with this one. I could agree that $30 is a little on the higher side for what it is, because it's, you know, just kind of classic 2D beat 'em up, but it's, you know, it's got quality there, and it's a hand-drawn game, and that stuff always takes extra work to get everything looking good and fluid and animated well. Plus it's a Microids game, and I kind of expect those to have a little bit of a price markup. It's just Microids always seems to have things like 10 bucks more than everyone else. I don't know why.
But at the same time, though, I mean, like, their games do go on sale like once or twice a year. So if that's a little bit too much for you, you can wait for about probably like 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And you'll get a decent discount on it. I mean, I just snapped up a bunch of their stuff during the Black Friday sale. Yeah. So
at 30, yeah. I'm comfortable giving it a buy it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm happy here with it. I like it. All right, Jacob, you got one more to talk about. That's called Two Synchro Hedgehogs, developed by Grin Robot, published by Zetalon. It's releasing December 15th on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $4.99 each. Separate purchases, separate achievement stacks. A puzzle platformer with two hedgehogs moving in sync. Polish your logic by controlling a team of twins in one move. Jacob, tell us about Two Synchro Hedgehogs.
So yeah, pretty much your game description just described the whole thing. And it's so pretty much you have these two hedgehogs who move at the same time on opposite ends of the screen. And so you have to figure out, like, first off, which one you're gonna which one needs to get moved first, so then you can complete that stuff and then work the other hedgehog so that they get all their stuff done at the same time without screwing over everyone.
Or if you have to work back and forth between the two, that's when it gets tough.
That's true. And so each level introduces like new mechanics and like stuff that you have to avoid. It's a standard Zetalon title. It reminded me a lot of Bumblebee, was it
Butterfly.
Called?
Butterfly 1 and 2. I'm pretty sure it's the same developer as the Butterfly games. So that makes sense. It's basically the same graphics, the same audio. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Grin Robot did all of them.
Except now you're just controlling two instead of one.
Yeah, which was my biggest gripe with the original Synchro Hedgehogs game, because I liked Butterfly. I could not get into Synchro Hedgehogs because of the whole dual movement thing. That shit pisses me off in games.
I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it's one of those things where you definitely just need to study the map before you start moving around. And then, you know, it just becomes a thing of trial and error. And with the other Zetalon titles, you know, if you're an achievement whore, this one is no different. First, you just need to get the first 10. You just need to pass the first 10 levels. And then you have your 1,000 points.
Something like 30, 32, 33, something like that.
What do you mean?
Levels.
Total levels.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there's going to be other, they're going to update the title so it has, you know, more achievements at a later date.
It is Zetalon. They do enjoy their title updates and achievements.
Yep. So, I mean, it's a simple title. It's not going to win anyone's Game of the Year award, but, you know, for $5, it's not bad. I enjoyed it. I got what I wanted out of it.
No, what's your verdict at $5?
Go for it. Fuck it. Why not?
That's what that rating is for. Games like this one is bordering on fuck it, why not, and deny it for me, just because I hate the dual movement thing, but that's just me. Other people, if you enjoyed the Butterfly games, you'll probably enjoy this one, and it's only $5, so fuck it, why not?
There you go.
All right, one more game to talk about, but that's going to be with Aki, and I recorded that 2 days ago, so I mentioned playing songs that we're not going to play, because we're going to play Josh's music instead. So either I edit that or I let it go and we play different stuff than what I said. But either way, I'm going to cut right here and Aki's going to join and you're going to disappear. So editing. Shut up.
Editing.
Shut up.
Editing.
God damn it.
Editing. All right, I'm done.
All right, and moving on, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and we are bringing in Aki for this one. Aki, how are you doing?
Pretty good. A little scatterbrained right now, but otherwise good.
You should be good. You got a Series X.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to hook it up. Oh, I can't wait to hook it up. I am so excited.
I hope you get there and open it and it's like a box of bricks and you're just like, motherfucker.
You know, because of the condition that the controller box came in, because FedEx just wrecked that box. Thankfully, it seems like the controller is okay. I haven't fiddled with it to make sure, but it doesn't look like it actually hurt the controller itself. I wouldn't be shocked if the Xbox was damaged.
Well, I know they're packaged really well, so hopefully the system inside is doing good. But you got a game to talk about, and we're getting back into SML After Dark territory. George, take it away.
SML After Dark.
Oh my god, I love that sound clip so much.
I like the porn music. It's fantastic.
SML After Dark. It's so
If he didn't record that with a porn stash on, I'm going to be just so disappointed.
He just sent it to me, and like I was expecting him to go like SML After Dark, and that's it. The music was entirely his idea.
Nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you. But SML After Dark, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called Fetish Locator Week 2, developed and published by Vinovella Games. It released October 25th on Steam for $14.99. The second installment of the Fetish Locator trilogy is here. Find out what's next for our protagonist as he's thrown into a lewd frenzy with over 20 girls. How will your prior choices ultimately affect things? Test your limits as you seduce and romance your way to the top in Fetish Locator. Aki, you enjoyed the first game. How's the second?
I really like the second one. Probably a little bit more, actually, than the first one. You're obviously still playing as the same person. This is just the second week. There's going to be another game after this as well, whenever that gets finished, and that should complete this whole thing. Because this was originally
billed as a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's
so
like
I don't
Lord
know.
Lord of the Rings. What are some of the Godfather trilogy and then Fetish Locator right there?
There is actually a surprisingly large amount of these porny visual novels, I guess we'll call it, like this, that are actually in multiple parts. Surprisingly, that seems to be like a big thing for them.
Hey, if you got something that works.
Damn straight. And usually they're cut up exactly like this, too. It's like week one, week two, week three. It's usually how it goes.
So what's going on in week two? What happens?
Well, in week two, you're still, you know, in the retention program that you were at the end of the first game. And they've decided, okay, you have to get invited to another party that's being held that week as well. You have to earn 50 points. In, I think, like 4 or 5 days, which, again, silly. Not as hard to do as it was in the first game. I ended up with like 82, 83 points, which I think was about the max. But most of them didn't come with, oh, you have to start this brand new fetish. It was just like, here, bang some people in public and stuff. I'm like, okay, kinky. That's just a, you know, typical Thursday night, whatever, that's good. And then after that, you are given another one that you have to do, which is sleep with 20 people within 4 days, I think it was.
4 days?
Yeah. From that point. So
you
all
are
the girls
literally fucking busy in this game.
Yes, you are. And the bad thing is all the girls that you've previously had sex with, they're not counting unless you fuck them again after you got this. Which is fine because you get to pretty much bang all of those girls again because most of them really like your dick. But yeah,
I wish girls liked my dick.
Oh, man. But they're... It's not just you have to do this or all your shit's going to be published anymore. Now it's you're going to do this or someone's going to take your dick away. And we don't mean that in the fun way either. Chop, chop. Literal sense. You don't know who. Yeah. That is literally what it says. It's like if you punishment for not completing this, your dick is getting taken away the following morning. It's gone. Goodbye. No more dicky. It's like, nah, no, no, that sounds like a, well, that sounds like a thing. I don't really care if his dick is gone, whatever, but he probably does. And you probably heard that. That was my dryer.
That's okay. I think I had a power saw going off for the entire time I did the intro. So
yay,
we're good.
But in this, you get some new fetishes. Mainly, you can go to being bicurious by banging a dude. There's
sweet equal opportunity fucking.
Yeah, you finally have a dude you can fuck. Well, I'll also point out that there was a girl you could meet in the first game, and if you did, you can also have her in the second game, who's trans, who happens to have a gigantic dick and a fucking immaculate body. She's real hot. So yeah, you can be with that all on a fairly regular basis, which is nice. Been nice. But some of that's not the only new fetish though. There's also pegging, and for all of you who don't know what that is, it's when the girl puts on a strap-on and fucks you in the ass.
If you've seen Deadpool, you might know about that.
I remember that scene now. That was great. I loved that scene. Just the look on his face. Oh, it was great.
Was it Happy International Women's Day or something like that?
Yes, it was. Oh, I love that. I'm going to need to buy that movie. I don't actually own that movie, shockingly. But, you know, those are just a couple of the new ones. There's more cosplay sex if you got with that character. Namely, she decides to wear a pony costume or a mermaid costume and stuff, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's there's not as many things that can cause you to go wrong in this one. It's all pretty much, you know, you get to bang people you've already banged, and you get to have a good time. And yeah, it's pretty good. It introduces two new girls, I think. Only one of them you can have sex with. I'm sure you're going to be able to have sex with the other one in the next game. The girl that's introduced that you don't get to have sex with is, and there went my dryer again, is Coach, who is a coach. You only get introduced her for like one scene for like 4 or 5 minutes. And then I can hear your saw. And the other one is in the first game, your sister's shit was taken after your roommate Pete, the big dude bro douche who can't remember girls' names, is like 3-pump chump and then passes out. He brings some girl home and, you know, proceeds to be useless, and she decides to steal a random thing from the room, and it happens to be your sister's luggage. So you get introduced to that character more intimately, i.e. you can fuck her.
Yay.
Yes, she's very pretty. She's a complete cunt, but she's very pretty. I think those are the only two new girls. Otherwise, it's the girls that you had from the last game. Thankfully, if you don't like how you did your choices in the last game, because you can carry over your save, you can also start a new game, which allows you to choose which girls you have active, their paths active, and there's like 9, 11, something like that, girls. And so you can click the ones that you're like, okay, I liked her, I liked her, I liked her, I want them in this game. I didn't like this bitch, the hell with her. And then you can choose a few other smaller options, including what all fetishes you agree to in the first game. Let's say you did the water sports stuff in the first game, because you kind of have to say yes to every fetish in order to actually complete that game properly, without quote-unquote cheating. So you can turn that off if you're not interested in it for this game. You're like, no, and that's okay. You'll be fine. You'll still get what you need. So you can turn all of those different fetishes on and off, and then you're introduced to more of them in the game. Not many. And then you can choose just a couple other things, which are story related for the last game, which can change people's opinions of you. But otherwise, the animations have gotten a little longer, and there's multiple camera angles that it cycles through as well, which is nice. And yeah, it's I enjoyed it. Oh, there was one other girl. You get to have sex with a judge, a very attractive judge.
I'm guessing all the girls are attractive, really.
Most of them are, at least to me, anyways. Most of them are, not all of them. Not particularly interested in some of them, but
they've all got great tits, and one of them has a bigger dick than me.
And your character too, like twice the size.
It's like my fucking forearm. I'm looking at these screenshots. Jesus.
Yeah, it reaches her fucking knees.
Oh my god, I wish.
I think everyone wishes for that. Like, I wish I had that, for fuck's sake. The envy, it is palpable.
Oh, well, the game's $14.99. What are your thoughts?
I say, again, if you don't mind the problematic thing that your character and his best friend, Amy Rose, if you don't mind the two of them are being blackmailed into doing sexual stuff constantly, then this is great. If you're really, really not into that, though, you're probably going to have a problem with these games, because obviously that's exactly what's happening. So,
yeah,
hopefully, because your characters are still trying to figure out who's behind all this shit to take them down. Hopefully, by the end of the last game, they will figure it out and that person will be fucked in every way imaginable.
And then we will find out in the future, in the inevitable future third game, whenever that comes out, we will be sure to take another look. I love that I'm looking at the Steam page and you've played this for over 8 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was only
normally I look at a Steam page. It's like, oh, blah, blah, played this game. They've put in like 1.3 hours. I'm like, yeah, that seems normal for one of our shows reviews. And then with you, it's like 8.3. I'm like, yeah, she liked this one.
Hell, that was just one playthrough.
I know.
Like, that was just me having to fucking read it. If you want all the achievements in this, you're looking at least 2 playthroughs minimum.
Nice.
And obviously, like all of these games, you can skip dialogue that you've already. Well, technically, you can skip all the dialogue altogether if you really want. But who does that? Lots of people. Fucking worthless shitheads. Cole would have been the one who'd do something like that, shithead.
I don't think she would ever play these games.
Oh, God, no, no. But she's the type who would totally skip, like, a visual novel altogether and just put it to where it just skips all dialogue and then just choose the choices.
Probably.
So, yeah, no, it's good. I really enjoy these games. They're fun, because I have no idea what I was talking about before I started bitching about Cole. I forgot just that quick.
Anyway, if people are interested in checking out the series, you could buy a bundle of the first 2 games for $18.88 on Steam right now.
Oh, that's a good price.
So save a couple of bucks and get your pervy on. But that is it for this episode. Made it through. Thanks to Jacob for being here and hanging out and doing his thing. And I don't know if I had a guest or not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what happens when I record this on Tuesday and the show on Thursday. Go figure, huh?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, I have to travel for 5 days.
Yep.
Jeez, cross-country traveling.
Yeah, that's
happens. You should buy a Series S and one of those flip-up screens for it.
Flip-up screen?
Yeah, they have like a mini screens you could attach to a Series S or like a PS5 or something like that, and just play on the go.
I still need to plug the Series S into something.
Yeah, there's a cigarette lighter in a vehicle. Get one of those power adapters and just plug it in there.
I didn't even know there was such a thing, honestly. Yeah,
power inverters.
Huh. I'll have to look into that.
Oh, my God. All right, let's get to the song. Do you have any final words?
The fappening is happening.
Thank you.